The Speaker of the Nova Scotia House of Assembly grants permission to record the televised proceedings of the legislature for use in schools and for other purposes, such as private study, research, review, or newspaper summary. Television and radio broadcasters may make use of recorded excerpts of the televised proceedings in their news or public affairs programs for the purpose of fair and accurate reports of proceedings. Program material may not be used for political party advertising, election campaigns, or any other politically partisan activity. Program material may not be edited for use in promotional material by any political party or other organization, and may not be used in any edited form that could mislead or misinform an audience or viewer, or which does not present a balanced portrayal of the proceedings in the House. Video program material may only be used with its original audio components, and no other audio material may be added to video material used. Any other commercial use or rebroadcast of these proceedings requires the express written approval of the Speaker.
They're being set up to fail now. Students are going from one grade to another, and they can't do the work in the previous grade. Many young people leave school without learning accountability or responsibility for their own achievements or their behaviors. This is not what they will face when they go to university or work, and then they will find themselves completely unprepared. We need our children prepared to take over from us.
We'll now move on to oral questions put by members to ministers. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, the Premier called for this emergency session when in fact there was no emergency. Teachers were teaching and students were learning in the classrooms across the province. What he really wanted was an excuse to legislate the teacher's contract, Mr. Speaker. But what he got from his tactics is the first general strike in our schools in this province's history. Mr. Speaker, his tactics backfired badly, and parents and students are about to pay the price for his actions tomorrow. Mr. Speaker, will the Premier take this opportunity to take responsibility for the strike that's going to happen in our schools tomorrow?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable for the question. It is indeed regrettable that students will not be in class tomorrow. It's my hope the Honourable Member and his colleagues will join us to move this bill through quickly so that we can ensure that kids get back in classrooms as soon as possible.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his first supplementary.
No, we won't, Mr. Speaker, because it's the Premier's actions that have led to that strike tomorrow by bringing this bill in the first place, Mr. Speaker. And this is not the first time that he's caused a closure in our schools. Mr. Speaker, he chose to lock the students out of our schools last December, again employing these tactics and putting his agenda ahead of the families and students of this province. That was a decision of this Premier, Mr. Speaker. Nova Scotians saw through it. Will he now take responsibility for closing our schools last December as well?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I've said many times in this House and across the province, I had eight superintendents who provided us letters telling us that on the following Monday that they did not feel that schools would be safe. We reached out to the union leadership. They would not assure us, Mr. Speaker. I think any reasonable Nova Scotian would expect me to act to make sure kids were safe. If I hadn't, and the Honourable Member had heard about me having those letters, he would accuse me of not doing my job, quite frankly. We went to the union. The union, at the following on Monday, said that they would make sure the kids were safe. We then, Mr. Speaker, left the bill. We've now gone through a period of time. We're at the table looking for a negotiated settlement. We had three tentative agreements with two different executives of Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. Work to rule was beginning to impact students, and we're here today.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition on his final supplementary.
Mr. Speaker, the Premier is right that I believe he's not doing his job. His job is to bring reasonable contract negotiations to a conclusion without resorting to unconstitutional legislation or provoking a strike in our schools. He's the first Premier in the province's history who has failed to do those things. That is correct. He's not doing his job. That's why we're here in this emergency session. Mr. Speaker, the Premier's tactics led to a closure of schools on December 5th. His tactics backfired badly in this session, leading to a closure of our schools tomorrow. Will the Premier at least apologize to the parents and students who are being put out tomorrow because his tactics have backfired so badly?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. The Honourable Member was on Steve Murphy tonight saying the fact he agreed with the wage pattern, more or less, I think is how he described himself, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, which is it? Which is it, more or less, Mr. Speaker? Does he actually agree with the position we put forward? Mr. Speaker, he looks for an opportunity to stand in the House and grandstand whenever
order,
he gets
order, please.
That.
The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, gets an opportunity to
order,
stand
please.
And grandstand.
Order, please. Order, please. The Honourable Premier has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll start over again. The Honourable Member was on TV tonight saying he agreed with more or less the wage pattern. Which is it, more or less? I think he owes that to the teachers, Mr. Speaker, that he's been out saying one thing to and then turning around saying something else, Mr. Speaker, when they're not listening.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Premier also. Mr. Speaker, listening to the Premier's State of the Province address, I could hardly believe my ears to be where we are today and hear the Premier of this province say, and I quote, "No one can deny that this province is headed in the right direction," end quote. Mr. Speaker, what does the Premier say to the thousands of teachers, students and parents who think the Premier is clearly headed in the wrong direction with this imposed contract?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I would say to teachers, Mr. Speaker, that we heard them. We were at three different occasions. We had contract tentative agreements with the unions that represented them, two different executives, Mr. Speaker. Each time they've obviously have not felt that their voice has been at the table, Mr. Speaker. What we provided in this piece of legislation is direct access for teachers to come and tell our government what it is, Mr. Speaker, they want to see changed inside of their classrooms across the province, and we're prepared to work with them and deliver on that change.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, in the State of the Province address, the Premier said, no matter whatever people may scream from the street, there is no denying we are moving in the right direction. Mr. Speaker, people are screaming in the street because they feel disrespected by this government. They are in the street because this government would not let them speak at law amendments, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I respectfully ask the Premier to truly listen to what is being said and withdraw this bill.
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I've heard from Nova Scotians across the province. They continue to be proud of the fact, Mr. Speaker, that we had more people choose Nova Scotia's home last year. Since the first time since the Second World War, we had over 5,000 people, Mr. Speaker, choose this job. We've seen startup communities, Mr. Speaker. We have seen 40 companies start at Volta, over 200 Nova Scotians working in those companies, Mr. Speaker. 80% of those companies are still growing in this province, Mr. Speaker. We're seeing them move in the positive direction. And the other thing, Mr. Speaker, is they've seen this government invest in public education every year after that government cut money from public education.
The Honourable Leader in the House for the New Democratic Party.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, but the spin is not working. Mr. Speaker, while the Premier may not want to withdraw this bill, I have the feeling that there is a few backbenchers who would. Backbenchers who are growing tired of taking heat to support the Premier's agenda. Mr. Speaker, these backbenchers have heard it from the nurses, they've heard it from healthcare workers, film workers, and now we can add teachers to the list, Mr. Speaker. So I ask the Premier, will he let the members of his caucus vote their own free will on this misguided piece of legislation?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, this piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker, will end work to rule, Mr. Speaker, and will put kids back in classrooms. I hope every member of this also support that bill.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Mr. Speaker, last December, the Premier caused a province-wide panic when he told parents that their children were not safe in schools. Mr. Speaker, that was an insult to the teachers of the province, who of course keep students safe and are required by law to do so, and they do that every day, Mr. Speaker. He used the teachers as an excuse to do what he really wanted to do, or try to, which is to impose a contract on teachers, Mr. Speaker, but people saw through it. So will the Premier now apologize to teachers for even suggesting that children were not safe in our schools.
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, again, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. If he'd actually paid attention to the answer, Mr. Speaker, it was 8 superintendents across this province that had said that and presented it to our government, Mr. Speaker. We had to respond. We reached out to the teachers' union to clarify that. They chose not to, Mr. Speaker, until
Order,
Monday.
Please. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
Speaker, even now the Premier is quite comfortable to imply to the parents of the province that teachers were not keeping students safe. That's simply not the case, Mr. Speaker. No teacher would leave a student unsafe, Mr. Speaker. Nobody buys this story about the superintendents, Mr. Speaker, because that whole excuse went away within hours. When this House was called back last December 5th, Mr. Speaker, a flip-flop the Premier has never properly explained. So what does the Premier have to say to students and their families now who are once again scrambling to find daycare because of these tactics that the Premier is employing with our schools?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member. He would know that those letters are public from superintendents, Mr. Speaker. They were not my words. They were superintendents, Mr. Speaker, words. Who raised the issue with us. Again, I want to say to the Honourable Member, we reached out to the Teachers Union to clarify, to make sure that we would ensure on Monday, when we did not get that assurance, we came to this House, Mr. Speaker, following being here under a number of conversations with their lawyer early in the morning, another conversation with the Executive Director of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. They reassured us, Mr. Speaker, and kids are back in school. I hope the Honourable Member will do the right thing, support this piece of legislation so we can get kids back in school.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Mr. Speaker, during law amendments, our caucus put forward a motion to allow the committee to continue to sit until everyone who wanted to speak had an opportunity to do so. This motion was voted down by government members. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Premier. Who in his government gave the directive to shut down law amendments and stifle public debate on this misguided bill?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. She would know yesterday there was an opportunity to create two committees that could operate in parallel at the same time to allow more people to be heard, Mr. Speaker. Her party and those voted against that, Mr. Speaker. We heard from teachers today, Mr. Speaker, this bill is being reported back so that we can go to the Committee of the Whole House tonight. It's my hope that all members will support this to allow this bill to go through so that we can ensure the kids will be in class on Tuesday.
The Honourable Member for Chester St. Margaret's.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I believe that the people and the teachers know that that was just a red herring to push this bill through as quickly as possible. Mr. Speaker, members of our caucus have asked but have been unable to get an answer from the Premier about whether his caucus will be able to vote their conscience on this bill. In a recent interview, the Premier said he didn't tell anyone how to vote. So, Mr. Speaker, can the Premier clarify if he isn't telling people how to vote? Is anyone else telling government members how to vote? Or will they be able to vote their conscience?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable for the question. As I said earlier, I've had three tentative agreements with the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, two different executives that we negotiated those with. Work to rule began to start, Mr. Speaker, in December. We were at the bargaining table. It was clearly rejected. It was clearly rejected by the membership. The president of the Teachers Union said they'd be going back to work to rule to continue to enforce that. We had to make a decision, Mr. Speaker. This was impacting students. The bill is before the House, and it's my hope, Mr. Speaker, that all members of this House will vote for the bill.
The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
You know, Mr. Speaker, before he was elected, the Premier was a big defender of bargaining. In fact, he scolded the previous NDP government for legislating a settlement for health care workers. And he said at that time, "It has been my experience that every health care provider has entered into that service because they want to provide service to people of this province. They want to be part of the solution. They deserve the respect of bargaining." Mr. Speaker, why doesn't the Premier believe teachers deserve the same respect as health care workers? And I'll table that quote, by the way.
The Honourable Premier.
Speaker, I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. I believe teachers and all members of collective bargaining across this province deserve the respect of government and the opportunity to have free and open collective bargaining. We were at the table. I want to remind the honourable member of two different executives in the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. We had three different tentative agreements that was negotiated at the table. And every time I moved away, we continued to move, made more concessions at the bargaining table, Mr. Speaker. But now this is impacting classrooms across the province. And I hope the honourable member will support this piece of legislation so that kids can get back in school.
The honourable leader of the official opposition.
Well, once again, no, I won't support this legislation, Mr. Speaker. In fact, the Premier at that time, back in 2013, actually talked about how hard it is to do collective bargaining. He didn't use that as an excuse then to excuse the governor of the day for turning to legislation like he is now. But he did say, I can only imagine how difficult it is on both sides to sit down and basically negotiate and hammer out terms and an agreement of a path forward in this province. Well, Mr. Speaker, will the Premier admit now that legislating this contract for teachers, it is an admission of failure on his part in the hard work of collective bargaining?
The honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I agree with the honourable member of the question. This is difficult times at the bargaining table. I want to again remind him we negotiated three different tentative agreements with two different executives in Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Mr. Speaker, it's been challenging. Teachers obviously have felt their voices were not heard at the bargaining table. They were not being represented at that table by either side, quite frankly. What we have before us is a piece of legislation, Mr. Speaker, that will ensure that we hear directly from teachers when it comes to making those improvements in classrooms across the province.
The honourable leader of the official opposition.
Mr. Speaker, the Premier admits that collective bargaining is hard, and yes, it is, but it's still important. He is now the first Premier in Nova Scotia history to resort to a legislated contract for the province's teachers. Mr. Speaker, will the Premier finally now admit that we're only here because he couldn't get done what every other Premier in the history of Nova Scotia has gotten done, which is to work out his differences with teachers without resorting to legislation?
The honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the honourable member for the question. Again, I want to remind him we had three tentative agreements, two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Mr. Speaker, I'm not sure that they heard me, Mr. Speaker. We had three tentative agreements with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. Each time teachers responded, Mr. Speaker, they've obviously felt that their voice was not at that table. They've been, quite frankly, upset at both sides at the table. What we have before us is a piece of legislation that will allow teachers to have direct input on the changes that will come in their classrooms. And I hope the honourable members will support this piece of legislation so that classroom teachers can be heard.
The honourable leader of the official opposition.
Once again, no, we won't, Mr. Speaker, for many reasons, including that because the Premier failed where every other Premier in our history succeeded, he is now condemning Nova Scotia taxpayers to a decade of legal challenges and millions of dollars of legal expenses, Mr. Speaker. That's going to be the legacy of this Premier's failure to conclude an agreement. He may have had three tentatives, but he had zero actual, and that's the problem, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like to ask the Premier why he's given up on bargaining, as hard as it is, and condemned us to millions of dollars of fees which could have been put in the classrooms in the first place.
The honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I don't necessarily agree with the honourable member's assertion there, the issue about the court challenge. That will be a decision by the union. Their own lawyer will tell them it's going to be difficult, Mr. Speaker. This was open bargaining process that we have allowed to go through this. We had three different tentative agreements, Mr. Speaker, with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. That is bargaining at the bargaining table. We've also heard from teachers across the province, Mr. Speaker, that have also felt their voice was not heard at that table, not represented by either side. That's why this bill provides them with an opportunity, Mr. Speaker, to come and speak directly to governments.
The honourable member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During law amendments, we heard from a teacher who said she found out about a new piece of the curriculum coding on the same day it was announced to the public. And as we heard from teacher Peter Day, there is some good in many of the initiatives that are introduced, but it's like when you go to a buffet and you overfill your plate. It won't all fit, and there's no room for dessert. So if the minister is going to keep giving teachers more initiatives, they cannot keep everything on their plate. So what does she expect teachers to give up?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We recognize that there are many, many tasks that teachers are asked to do. When we wanted to talk to teachers about how we can streamline the curriculum to make it more manageable, they came into the department, they worked with us, and it was the teachers who decided how that curriculum would be streamlined. We did that for primary to grade 3. We did it for grade 4 to grade 6. We value the input that classroom teachers can give us, and we'll continue to work with classroom teachers to make sure that they have a manageable task in front of them.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to hear that she cares about classroom teachers and she'll listen to them, but there's about 1,000 of them outside right now, and there's going to be more here tomorrow, so she doesn't seem to be listening very well. And, Mr. Speaker, I have to say this is typical of the government's approach to education. They keep shoving things down teachers' throats, they've refused to listen to the people who are working in the classroom every day, and they're obsessed with pushing forward their own agenda. So, Mr. Speaker, can the minister please explain how forcing this contract on teachers will actually help them deliver the many initiatives in their classrooms?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The first meeting that I had with the provincial executive of the NSTU back in the fall of 2013, there were some issues that teachers raised at that point, and I asked them, what could make your work better? What could make the classroom better? And there were three things that they told me: the size of the class, a more manageable curriculum, and data collection. We're responding to all of those, Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the reasons that parents, teachers, and students say that we don't need more committees is because the government has already had committees report to it. In fact, Myra Freeman told the government in 2014 that, quote, the flood of emails, reports, and written comments reviewed by the panel form a compelling case that all government departments with a mandate for children must act quickly. The report also said, quote, we need to ensure that teachers have the ability to focus on instruction by redirecting all available resources to support other essential programs and services. So what happened?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we did the comprehensive review of public education, first time in 25 years that had been done, there were many, many things that teachers, parents, and other members of community told us that we were doing well, but there were a lot of things that they told us we needed to change. And so we began that process, and it's important to note that one of the most important things that was brought to our attention was the need for more time on math and literacy, two fundamental skills that our students need, and we've directed a lot of our resources, human resources and financial resources, to math and literacy so that our kids will have a good foundation.
The Honourable Member for Dartmouth East.
Mr. Speaker, between that report and the Minister's Working Committee on Absenteeism and Classroom Climate, both done within the past couple of years, almost every issue listed for these proposed committees is covered with recommendations that say they should be done urgently. Yet here we are 2 years later. Freeman said teacher workloads are too high, the paperwork and non-classroom related expectations take time away from working directly with students. Exactly what teachers are telling us today. Freeman also found that inclusion was very important, but lacked the funding to, quote, ensure a continuum of resources to ensure successful implementation. Mr. Speaker, that report was delivered to the minister in 2014, yet the committees the minister wants are going to address the same issues. So why more committees? Why not just implement the same recommendations that teachers are asking for?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm really pleased that the member mentioned inclusion. It certainly is a topic that no other premier has ever gone to the public about. We have taken the initiative to do that, and we want to hear from all of our publics about how the best way it is for us to respond to the needs of every student in every class in every school.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Health and Wellness. Mr. Speaker, in the summer of 2013, the minister was a passionate defender of the collective bargaining process. He scolded the government of the day for thwarting a negotiated settlement. He said, and I quote, which I'll table, the signals have been there for this government to have taken some steps, some processes which could have prevented us from arriving at the legislature to deal with an issue that could have come to head at 12:01 a.m. tomorrow. And they've had 2 years to work in the best interests of Nova Scotians and have paramedics give the respect, the compensation, the advancement of their profession in a way that should not have them, you know, going out doing information picnics and ultimately possibly a strike. Sound familiar? But my question, Mr. Speaker, is does the minister stand by these statements in the way, does he agree that this government didn't bargain in good faith with?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the member from Kings North for the question, and I believe very strongly that each situation has very different elements that are at work, and I certainly proposed in that context to deal with that situation.
The Honourable Member for Kings North.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, back in 2013, the minister had strong words for the failure of the government of the day to avoid a crisis, he said, which I just tabled. I disagree with anyone who says the government had no other choice. The government had a choice 2 years ago to deal with what was a pending crisis in the province. What it really speaks to, I feel, and what the NDP people in my riding tell me, is a further abdication of NDP principles and practices not to have a thoughtful, planned collective bargaining process unfold in relation to paramedics. It signals to many others that this could now be the way of the future with this type of interference. My question, Mr. Speaker, is does the minister stand by his comments today, and does he truly believe his government respected the collective bargaining process?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I certainly have engaged with a lot of teachers over the last couple of months in particular, gone into classrooms, and certainly understand many of the issues that are at hand here. But in reference to the context that the member proposes, what I can say with certainty is that I don't agree with parking lot negotiations.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question to you is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, it was very clear while listening to teachers at law amendments that we do not have enough resource teachers, educational assistants, and psychologists. So my question will be to the Premier is, will the Premier admit that the government has failed our students by not providing the proper human resources?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the gentleman for the question. I want to tell him we've made investments in public education in every budget that I brought in. I've said this publicly. Obviously, Mr. Speaker, we've missed the mark in some places. We're hearing from classroom teachers. They were obviously not happy with what's taking place at the bargaining table by either side. We provided in this bill an opportunity for them to speak directly. There will be 9 classroom teachers across the on this committee. They will have ownership of this committee. We want to hear directly from them, Mr. Speaker. I want to continue to make investments in classrooms, and I want to continue to provide those supports that teachers and students need.
The Honourable Member for Sydney River Myra Lewisburg.
We also heard, Mr. Speaker, in law amendments that there's been enough committees, it's time for action. Mr. Speaker, teachers continue to tell us that there were a number of improvements that could have been offered to them that would not cost any government dollars. And for example, Mr. Speaker, a discipline policy, an attendance policy, reduction in any new initiatives, reduction in data input. Mr. Speaker, the question to the Premier is, the Premier continues to say he's been listening to teachers. Why hasn't he considered offering them the above examples, which cost your government no money, but does good for the student in the classroom?
The Honourable Premier.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. He'll remember when the Minister announced that there would be a freeze on assessment, provincial assessments. It was not received well by the union. They felt like we were acting without them. What this provides them is an opportunity to hear, provides us an opportunity to hear directly from classroom teachers across this province, Mr. Speaker. I want to say to classroom teachers, I want to hear from them. We will make and continue to make an investment in public education, and we will continue to work with them to streamline the things that are being asked of them, Mr. Speaker, because they're absolutely right. We should be having these conversations. We have a policy now about attendance that we're in the final stages of, and because of work to rule, we're not having that conversation with teachers. This needs to get over. We need to hear from teachers to continue to implement and make those changes that they want, Mr. Speaker, and quite frankly, that our kids deserve.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over the last year and a half, we've been asking the Minister of Labour to take action to end the impasse between the government and the Nova Scotia Teachers Union. For that matter, Mr. Speaker, over the last 3 years on a number of labour issues, at every time, Mr. Speaker, the Minister has said that she is impartial and does not comment on labour disputes. Mr. Speaker, my question for the Minister of Labour is, was she acting impartially when she voted to support Bill 100 and Bill 148?
The Honourable Minister of Labour.
I want to thank the Honourable Member for the question. He is right that as the Minister of Labour, I'm obliged to carry out my administrative duties in a neutral manner. For that reason, I don't comment on the actions of either party during a labour negotiation. What I did do, Mr. Speaker, is look back at precedent, see what Labour ministers have done in the past, and in every case, Mr. Speaker, it was clear to us that the minister had voted with the government. Thank you.
The Honourable House Leader for the New Democratic Party.
Mr. Speaker, the minister says she's not involved in discussion at Cabinet. She's mentioned that a number of times, but then she turns around and supports government bills, stripping workers' rights of collective bargaining. So I'd like to ask the minister, will the minister be impartial when the vote for Bill 75 happens?
The Honourable Minister of Labour.
As I've indicated to the Honourable Member, for the last 25 years, 10 pieces of legislation, in every particular case, the Labour Minister has voted with the government. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Premier. Mr. Speaker, it's been clear that the government had no intention to bargain in good faith with the teachers. In November, the Premier was caught pre-recording a video announcing that he was disappointed talks with the teachers had broken down. The only problem, Mr. Speaker, is he shot the video before the parties actually left the table. Will the Premier admit this amateur video foul-up is proof that his government was not negotiating good faith with the teachers?
The Honourable Premier.
Mr. Speaker, no. One more conspiracy theory by the Conservative Party of Nova Scotia, Mr. Speaker. The actual fact is I've been at the bargaining table. We negotiated three different tentative agreements with two different executives of the Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. Each time we were there, each time, Mr. Speaker, we moved on our position. The position that we presented on the first time was very different than the one we agreed to at the end. Mr. Speaker, what has become clear is the work to rule started in December. That has gone on and is impacting classrooms across the province, Mr. Speaker. And this piece of legislation will allow kids to be back in classrooms. It will allow us to put an agreement in place and will allow us to get an opportunity to hear directly from classroom teachers who obviously felt their voices were not at the bargaining table.
The Honourable Member for Northside Westmount.
Mr. Speaker, I don't know where the Premier's been at, but the kids have been in the classroom. They haven't been doing the extracurricular, but they have been in the classroom. There's no emergency to get them back in the classroom. Mr. Speaker, the Premier was more than prepared for the worst-case scenario, as his office also admitted they had not made a pre-recorded video in the event that the talks were successful. The Premier himself discussed similar back-to-work legislation, an anti-strike bill, and criticized the government today for taking away collective bargaining rights. So I'll table that, Mr. Speaker. So my question is to the Premier, why does the Premier continue to push this legislation and to continue to negotiate in bad faith?
The Honourable Premier.
Again, I want to remind the Honourable Member, we have three tentative agreements, two different executives, and Nova Scotia Teachers Union, Mr. Speaker. We were at the bargaining table. It became very clear, Mr. Speaker, that teachers did not feel their voices being represented by either side at the bargaining table. What this bill will provide is an opportunity for classroom teachers to have direct input, Mr. Speaker. They will actually have ownership of this committee. They will have direct input on the changes that will impact their classrooms. I look forward to that conversation, and I hope the Honourable Member will support this bill so we can make sure the kids are in class.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Education and Early Childhood Development. Mr. Speaker, stats regarding youth mental health across Canada is staggering. Approximately 20% of young people are suffering from some form of mental disorder. This translates to 1 in 5 students in the average classroom. My question to the Minister, would the Minister agree that the majority of Nova Scotia schools do not have the expertise required to address this need?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I think all teachers would recognize, and I would be a teacher who would also recognize that the social issues that students bring to school, the mental health issues that they bring to school, have increased significantly over the years. And I would also be the first to say that teachers need support because they are trained to be teachers. They're not trained to be mental health clinicians. And so what we've done is gone out to working with the Department of Health to ensure that we have mental health clinicians as a resource to teachers so they can help work with students who do have some challenges and do need some extra supports.
The Honourable Member for Pictou Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, mental health of students is often overlooked. School personnel need to learn how to recognize and address adolescent mental health problems. Due to a shortage of proper trained specialists, some teachers are forced to ask a fellow student to take on the task of monitoring and following a student throughout the day. My question to the Minister, is this a practice that should be occurring in our schools?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Recognizing that we need expert advice when we're looking at how we provide resources and supports, we've reached out to Dr. Stan Kuchar, who has worked with our department very closely. He has prepared some materials that teachers have go to, for example, where teachers can go to try to get some background information that will help them address and respond to and perhaps even identify some of the issues that our students are bringing to the classroom. But as I said, teachers are trained to teach, and we want to make sure that we have the professionals that they need, whether it's through a youth health center, whether it's through mental health clinicians, but that they have the expertise, the professionals in those areas to provide support for them, because they are the educators, they're not the mental health clinicians.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, many teachers are watching these proceedings very carefully tonight, and a constituent of mine just sent me a message, actually, requesting that I ask the Education Minister why initiatives are rolled out so quickly, underdeveloped, unresourced, undersupported, with no training provided. And in 2013, the Nova Scotia Liberal platform said, education isn't a line item in the budget, it's our future. So, Mr. Speaker, I have to agree, but this government seems to know the price of everything and the value of nothing. So, since our education minister is also the chair of the Treasury Board, I'd say the buck stops with her. Teachers are staging a province-wide strike right now because of the mismanagement by the government and this minister.
Does the member have a question?
So my question for the Minister of Education is this. Will she take responsibility for this impasse and apologize to the 9,300 Nova Scotian teachers that she has disrespected?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And what I would like to say to all members and to all teachers is that every budget since we were elected in 2013 has shown an increase in our funding to school boards, and that money is used to support students and teachers in the classroom. And initially, Mr. Speaker, we had to try to repair the damage done when that particular government slashed money from classrooms, gave it to the teachers as a salary increase, and not a peep out of those people about what was going on in the classroom at that time.
The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank her for that answer. And actually, yes, I was very upset when the government did cut from education $13 million, not 65. So, Mr. Speaker,
order,
disrespecting...
Please. The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River has the floor.
Spoke up.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, I was a backbencher who spoke up. Mr. Speaker, I have another question. I have another question, Mr. Speaker, from one of my constituents. Ask Ms. Casey why teachers have to negotiate a review of inclusion...
Order, please. I'd like to remind the Honourable Member that question period is not an opportunity to ask questions on behalf of directly from constituents. So if you could paraphrase or work around that. The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River.
Yes, so my question is, why do teachers have to negotiate a review of inclusion policy as part of the working conditions? Shouldn't this be best practice for the Department of Education? And, Mr. Speaker, disrespecting and dismissing concerns of the people who are at the front lines of education is just not the way forward. She has to stop blaming the past government.
There was
So my question is, can she explain why she thinks that she should be allowed to continue continue in this role and lead the department in repairing the damage that has been done?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I remember the 4 years of that previous government. I remember the NSTU slogans that were going around, kids, not cuts. I remember that member sitting on her hands during the whole proceedings. But guess what, Mr. Speaker? She voted for a budget every year that took money out of the classrooms of our kids.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister
of Education. Order, please.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East has the floor. Order, please. The Honourable Member for Pictou East. Order, please. Order, please. The Honourable Member for Truro, Bible Hill, Millbrook, Salmon River will come to order. The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Education. We've all heard the Premier over the last few days say that it's time to get back into school. We all, on this side of the House, we think that children have been in school and teachers have been teaching. So I'd just like to ask the Minister of Education, have teachers been teaching since December 5th, or where have they been?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the member would recognize, maybe not admit, but would recognize that there were many directives that came from the NSTU to teachers that caused teachers some concern, caused parents a lot of anxiety, and caused students to be wondering what they would be doing when they went to school. Would their teacher be there to help them? Would they be able to have a strong school spirit in their schools? And I met with some high school students, and their first comment was, work to rule is destroying the school spirit in our high school.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
One thing that teachers have been saying, though, is that in the last couple of months they've been had more time to teach. I've heard that from a number of teachers, since they didn't have so much burden with the power school and data entry and stuff like that. So we have heard, and I'm sure the minister's heard, a number of kind of obvious changes that could be made pretty quickly. The minister said back in December 2013, I think, that she heard from teachers and did make some changes. And over the last few months, more and more things are coming to light. Teachers are talking more and more about some of the obvious changes that they would like to see made. And I think the minister referred to the other night having some letters ready to go when this is over. I'd just like to ask the minister, what's the holdup? Why hasn't this government made some of those obvious changes over the last few months that could have appeased teachers and avoided all of this? Why wait?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's nothing I would like to have done any more than to work with teachers, talk with teachers on things like our attendance policy. And we were not allowed. The directives that were given to the teachers, NSTU members, received a directive that they were not to engage in meetings with... They were not to engage in meetings with members from the staff, staff from the department. They were not to do that. And that was frustrating for us because we wanted to talk to teachers. We want their input. And as the member has said, we needed to move on some things, and we're ready to move on this. And that's exactly why we want this resolved. We want teachers ready to meet with us, ready to work with us, and to do the things that the member has identified.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for the Minister of Health. Given that a previous government disclosed that over $1 million had been spent on legal bills by 2007, and given that the public has an ongoing right to know how public funds are spent, I'd like to ask the Minister, what's the sum total of taxpayer money dispersed to outside law firms in the course of the Dr. Gabriel Horn matter during his tenure as minister? I'd like him to include legal fees for secretaries, lawyers, meetings, court cost preparation, and all related matters. If the minister can tell us, what's the sum total of legal fees that this government has spent during just his tenure as minister?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And the member opposite is talking about an issue that now goes back 14 years with the Capital Health District that continues to move forward with the NSHA and is currently under appeal before the courts.
The Honourable Member for Pictou East.
Mr. Speaker, and I know the Minister, I thought the Minister might be reluctant to talk about how much has been spent in legal fees. I'm sure it's absolutely staggering, the amount of money, and the fact that the courts have decided what happened here. Now, this government is continuing with an appeal. I know in the corporate world, a lot of times when you're looking at a legal situation, the parties will look at what's the probability of success. And I know of three or four instances right away that makes me wonder if this government's determination is what's the probability of the individual citizen on the other side kind of giving up and throwing in the towel, because everyone wants a fiscally responsible government. Nobody wants a callous government. And when we see these situations where appeals and appeals and appeals, so I'd like to ask the Minister, by what date in the future can we reasonably expect this government to disclose, in the interest of transparency, how much money they've spent on this case?
The Honourable Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and I certainly believe that any time taxpayer money goes for legal fees, that it should be disclosed to the public. That will be done in due course. What the member should realize, however, she's not an employee of the Department of Health. She is an employee of the Capital Health, now with the Nova Scotia Health Authority. It is their prerogative in terms of continuing to reach a settlement. I know a settlement will be reached, but that's for the courts to determine.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Needham.
My question is for the Minister of Education. The Minister just recognized that teachers are not mental health clinicians, and yet we heard at law amendments just this evening that the ratio of students to psychologists in the Nova Scotia systems is three times what is recommended as best practice. We have psychologists in Nova Scotia responsible for more than 3,000 students. Will the Minister take another initiative off the plate and invest in more psychologists?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Initially, when funding is allocated to boards, we have a ratio that we consider for school psychologists, for speech-language pathologists, for resource teachers, and we have to go back to that ratio, because if that ratio is not right, then we need to increase the funding, and what we're hearing from teachers is it's not right, and we will have to review that.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Needham.
Well, what I have heard consistently over the last number of months, and we heard it again today, is that students are waiting 2 to 3 years for psych ed assessments. While they are waiting, they are often not learning. Those psych ed assessments are essential for students learning how to read, learning how to function in a classroom. So is the Minister aware of this situation, and what steps has she already taken to try to address it?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 2 to 3 years a wait list is unacceptable. I will admit that. What we've done every year is to provide more funding to school boards and to tell school boards that they need to make sure that they use the resources to provide supports for our most needy kids, and those would be kids who are needing some psych ed assessment or who are needing speech language. And as I said, we have a ratio that we use, but that may certainly need to be changed. But we certainly do not support and condone a wait list of over 2 to 3 years for psych ed assessment. That's unfair to the students.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My question as well is to the Minister of Education. Almost 2 summers ago now, I had the opportunity to meet with the Minister with a local parent association member, Blair Boudreau. At the time, we talked about Eccle Wedgeport, which I know the Minister has visited on a couple of occasions. And we talked about either a replacement or a full renovation of that facility, because it is in sorry state. As you know, Wedgeport is a small Francophone community in my constituency. There's about 100 children that go to that school. So my question to the Minister really is, we did what the Minister asked as we were able to make sure that the CSAB had it on its list. Matter of fact, it's number one on its school construction list. And we're just wondering why it didn't show up anywhere in the last construction list.
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do remember the meeting. I do remember the passion that the community and the member have for that particular school. No different, Mr. Speaker, than every member would have an interest and a passion for the community schools in their constituency. No different than the passion that parents have. One of the things that I think we have to recognize is that we use a number of factors to determine which schools will be added to the capital plan. We have an envelope that we have to live within, and when we do that, certainly there are going to be communities that are disappointed. There are also going to be communities that are happy.
The Honourable House Leader for the Official Opposition.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And to the Minister, we understand there has to be a decision made on which schools go forward and which ones don't. And I don't diminish those communities that have gotten schools. I mean, good for them. But I know that this school has been asking for a major renovation, and I know the CSAP has been working hard to make sure that it is on its list for probably the past 12 years now. And every time, it never seems to get to the department's list. So how can it be on the CSAP list so long and never, ever make it to the departmental list?
The Honourable Minister of Education.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't answer for the previous government as to why it didn't make it on their list. But I can speak to the criteria that is used when we make our decisions for schools that will be added to the capital plan. And they certainly include the whole notion of needs of students, condition of the school, is it a consolidation with other schools, is it an A&A, is it a new school, regional fairness, all of those things that have to be considered. And I would love to give every school that's on the list, every community, a new school. That's fiscally not possible, but it certainly is a process. I would encourage the CSAP board to take advantage of the maintenance capital money if they need some short-term repairs, and to continue to identify that school through their school board. Thank you.
The Honourable Member for Halifax Needham.
Mr. Speaker, my question is for the Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage. Earlier this month, an article appeared in the Nova Scotia Advocate about our public libraries across Nova Scotia, and the article states that a lack of funding from the province is forcing libraries to reduce staff, cut back on hours, and even close branches. Public libraries are essential to supporting literacy and especially early childhood development. Mr. Speaker, my question is, how much has this government cut from public library budgets?
The Honourable Minister of Communities, Culture and Heritage.
Thank you for that question. And yes, you're correct. Libraries are very important to our province and to the people and to communities. The government does invests $14.4 million in libraries for operations, but we also provide lots of other funding through other grants through my department that libraries can apply for special projects or other investments. We will continue to support libraries, and we will continue to support those hubs that are important to all those communities.
Order, please. Time allotted for oral questions put by members to ministers has expired. We'll now move on to government business. The Honourable Government House Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That concludes the government business for today. We will be calling the House back on Friday, February 17th, from the hours of 12:01 a.m. until 11:59 p.m. Following the daily routine and question period, the House will resolve into a committee of the whole on Bill number 75. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do now rise to meet again at 12:01 a.m. on Friday, February 17th, until 11:59 p.m.
Motion is to adjourn. There's been a request for a recorded vote. We will ring the bells for 1 hour.